Hello, and welcome to What Moves Us, the podcast where we ask, what moves us? Or more accurately, what's going to move us in future?
With the Rail Innovation Group's Johanna Randall and Liam Henderson, we look at debates, themes and decisions of the minute that will impact on the way we get about in the future.
Good morning. It's Tuesday the 12th of March. How are we all?
Not too bad, thank you, even though it's pouring with rain.
Well, it's spring has sprung, apparently.
There's a lot of exchange of weather between north and south at the moment because we've not really had much rain at all in Highland Scotland. Still pretty chilly, but we've definitely got spring in the Highlands.
I'm skiing locally.
Southeast is just awash, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And I was quite surprised to hear on the weather, 62 weather warnings. That are still in place in England.
I know. It's pretty horrible today. Oh, I want to hear, Johanna, about your Scottish experience.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to come back to a bit of climate in as part of this podcast, I think, because as ever, it always comes up a lot in railway talk these days because of the challenges that weather causes to operating the railway.
Yeah.
But so, we're going to be talking about the Rail Scotland conference, aren't we?
Brilliant. Yes. Tell us everything. I'm now questions already about the Rail Scotland conference, but
I have to remember everything. Well, of course, I closed down the link, so I can't tell you everything about. I'm going to move away for a minute because can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you. You've just been in.
I brought my notes up and then I didn't, and then I forgot things and that. So, I mean, like the good thing about, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. Good thing about.
Tell us where and when it was first.
Okay. So, first thing was it was last Thursday. So, Thursday, the 7th of March. And it was held at the Radisson Blue Hotel in Glasgow. So, I think it's interesting one thing that I didn't really appreciate when I moved up to Scotland was that whilst the seat of government is in Edinburgh, Transport Scotland are actually based in Glasgow. So I'm only 45 minutes away by train, but there is that gap, and they are all situated close to Central Station. And the hotel was also close to Central Station. And I think, before I sort of like get into the detail of the day, because as ever, when we talk about sort of like conference and things, the balance of the attendees always comes up. And as ever, it was still very white, old male dominated in terms of attendance. But I did start to notice a slight difference is that there did appear to be more of a diverse audience, maybe a few more females, a few more people of colour. Still no people of disability. But there was sort of like a slight change, and that's why I thought that was nice to see. And I thought, hands off to the organisers as well, is that they also ensured that all the panels were balanced, which you don't always see. And one of the things that I also thought was, quite good for the panels, that whilst we did have the introduction from the Cabinet Secretary for Transport, Fiona Hislop, they followed that immediately by a panel discussion about the future of rail in investing in people. And that was all people that were either young or relatively new to the industry. So they were, none of them had, I think, more than, 5 or 6 years of experience. So, and that was all about, all the discussion was all about their experience and what you would do to get more, more people into rail. And that was before they then went into the main part of the conference and the big hitter. So I thought that was quite refreshing to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
My upfront question.
What's your upfront question?
If you look on the website, twice on the front page of the website, it tells you there's a dress code for the event. Do you think that discourages some less stuffy people from going?
I'm not too sure, because I can't say that I really saw much of a business code, because I think not many people really wear ties. You know, so I think, you know, definitely as a trend that has gone. I mean, I think in the main, most people are dressed smart, casual.
But is that, you know, I think,
well, you know, I think, I think you do see a lot more men who sort of like, you know, wear, you know, chinos or slacks or whatever with a mismatched jacket and shirt and brown shoes. Brown shoes seems to be the new ties, maybe. I don't know. And women, you see women in less in business suits. I think women that were in business suits were, you know, playing to maybe a bit of a Barbie theme, because there was some nice colour around. I noticed a lady had a nice pink suit on. So
that's good.
So I think, you know, so I think people do just dress how they want now. I don't, you know, it's interesting about having dress codes, isn't it? Because I don't think people really pay. I mean, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, but if you're unfamiliar with the environment and you saw a business dress code, you might think that it's a stuffy event. I just don't know what benefit it says having twice on the thing. You must look like this to come in.
Yeah, and I would say that it's an interesting one, because I get asked that most if I'm doing an event with my High Speed Rail Group hat on. If I do an apprentice event, I always forget. It's my fault. I always forget to say, or I don't think to say. Because, as you said, Johanna, most people, I think, now just think, oh, well, you know, we don't need to dress terribly formally. And they're, you know, people that are perhaps further on in their careers, they feel comfortable about making a decision just based on their own experience of what they think they should wear. But I do get asked that a lot by apprentices. That's probably the most common question I get, is if I invite an apprentice to an event, up to one of our High Speed Rail Group events, is they say, what should I wear?
Yeah, I can imagine
the dress code. So that's interesting, isn't it? Right, Liam, ask a sensible rail question now, so we can stop talking about what we wear to rail events.
Right, Janet, what were the headline themes of the event?
So you already mentioned that the rail minister Fiona Hislop was there, and of course there was a panel event with Bill Reeve, Alex Hines, and then a couple of representatives from the supply chain, so from Morgan Sindall and Porterbrook. And I think the really key message that I got, and I'm sure Transport for Wales will appreciate this, is that Scotland is not facing the same disruption that maybe England is in waiting for things to happen. Scotland has a national transport strategy, with which it's just published its latest version before Christmas. It's committed to that net zero future and providing a better future for rail. And that is sort of like, you know, so that's represented in the amount of spend, you know, that there's going to be. So Scotland are spending 4.2 billion in the next control period on meeting that. So I think, you know, and they're committed to integrating the railway further. So there was a big play on the fact that ScotRail is already part of Scotland's railway, as it likes to be called. In the last 12 months, Caledonian Sleeper has come into that family, and they want to integrate it even more. I mean, like, I think that was the first key message that I think, you know, that came across, was that they are committed to further integration, and they don't want to go back to the private franchising and that, because they can see the benefits in inefficiencies in doing that. But I think, you know, from a passenger point of view, I think they've still got a long way to go on that, because I think part of the trade-off of having that is that I think they have to decide whether they do want something that is better for the passenger and experience wise, or whether they're just going to concentrate on it being a utility and just provide a very basic service. And I don't think they've quite got that vision straight. Related to that is that there was a very small mention by the minister, but also by by Bill Reeve as well, is about the recent UK legislation that has been published a couple of weeks ago. And she mentioned that she had written to Mark Harper to actually say that they didn't want to be distracted by the UK legislation. And that, I'm summarising, hands off our railway, you're not getting it, because we're committed to that further devolution. You know, so I think, you know, and they see that both the officials and the minister see that anything that happens with the UK or English legislation is just a distraction to what Scotland want to achieve, because they already have their plan of what they want to do. So that kind of leads to the third thing, which is about the whole sort of like decarbonisation and the decarbonisation action plan. And there is a programme to replace rolling stock, which has been delayed slightly. They didn't mention why it'd been delayed, but they are committed to replacing all the diesel trains. But it was listed as one of the challenges was that one of the things that they're researching is hydrogen trains. But of course, hydrogen is a lot more expensive than diesel. And it was mentioned that hydrogen is 10 times the price of diesel. So that is a challenge, because, of course, they're not going to electrify the whole of Scotland. There is a plan to electrify. Aberdeen has already started, and there will be a plan to electrify up to Inverness, but that will pretty much be it. Other than that, it will be hybrid options. And I think they're looking for, you know, so if anyone's listening, they are looking for solutions for cost-effective ways to deliver that hybrid solution, whether that be battery, hydrogen or whatever, because battery is not without its challenge. But whilst I'm on new trains, they are looking for a step change in the passenger experience. But I'm not quite sure how they're going to balance that off with the trade-offs that they'll need to make in terms of the price. And it wasn't discussed, but obviously Scotland have been benefiting from innovation in fares, because they've been running the trial on the off-peak fares, which means you can travel anytime you want for an off-peak fare. And I personally think it's brilliant, because it means you just don't have to think about travelling or booking or anything. You just do it.
But is that because their trains aren't busy enough to warrant a peak time?
Oh, well, you see, that was what I thought was quite interesting. I think, and it will be interesting, because I know that they are currently looking at the impact there has been on the off-peak fares. But I've certainly noticed in the couple of journeys I did last week, the trains are a lot busier.
That sounds like good news.
So yeah, Hopefully positive for the off-peak fare trial, and fingers crossed this it'll be extended forever.
Well, we can come to that about fares and climate change, but you mentioned that Scotland's Railway now have control of Caledonian Sleeper and ScotRail. What is the Scottish Government's thoughts on domestic flights versus rail? Because obviously the biggest flows of people are Glasgow and Edinburgh to London, which are generally Scottish people, or people going from London. So what are they doing about reducing domestic flights?
Well, see, that's interesting, because that's part of the tension with the UK government, isn't it? Because if you look at Scotland's transport strategy, they have this wonderful hierarchy of transport, which has active transport at the top as being, you know, what you, you know, the first, you know, mode that they want you to use, you know, whether that be walking or cycling or wheeling. Going down to the, you know, your least priority should be aviation. But of course, recently, was it in the October budget, was that they reduced the tax that you get for domestic flights, didn't they? UK government.
Okay, yes.
So it's
Scottish government must have tools if it really wanted to reduce domestic flights from its two.
I don't know what tools they do have. I mean, like, I haven't researched into it, to be quite honest. I'm like, can they put up fares? Because that's what I was saying, is that because it is a tension, isn't it, because obviously. Yeah, and I know sort of about wider, there is more discussions going on, and I'll have to pick out the research, and maybe we can have another podcast about this. With the policies that the UK government is pursuing, they're not enabling any of this. Everything that they're doing is pointing to more aviation, more car journeys, less rail, when rail is part of the decarbonised future. Yeah. So even just as something as simple as cancelling HS2, and I'm going to stop there and bring Debs into the conversation because she will know more about this, is this is actually stopping growth in Scotland.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually. Was there any mention at the conference about, because obviously, you know, the part of HS2 that's been curtailed, basically the past Birmingham, is the bit that was going to potentially enable the commitment that both the UK government and the Scottish government, you know, saw the rail ministers both, whenever that was, 2020, was it, or 2019, committing to a sort of 3-hour, 10 journey time to Scotland on high-speed rail. Well, that's now going to be, I would suggest, not possible until we see what the new Network North, you know, hodgepodge of plans are to kind of patch back up the railway into the, you know, into the north and beyond. Did that get a mention?
HS2 was not mentioned at all, other than the fact that in the afternoon there was a presentation from the new MD of TPE. There was no discussion of anything south of the border other than get your hands off our railway because we're on a course and we know what we're doing. And I can understand why they feel about that, because in some ways, yeah, because particularly in events that I've been to, not so much in terms of getting off our railway. One of the success stories that I've heard in Scotland is that and the supply chain have become very successful at electrification, and Scotland can put wires up cheaper than anywhere else in Europe at the moment. And part of the success of that is because they've kept to a plan, so the supply chain isn't always stopping and starting.
Well, maybe they can electrify down here.
Well, I think that's always the thing that, you know, that Scotland have been sort of saying, and maybe that is part of the issue, is that maybe, because that is the thing, is that the conference was, you know, very Scottish focused, very insular in that sense, and wasn't very outward looking, and maybe Scotland should advertise more of that more and be more outward looking in what in selling the benefits of what Scotland have done.
And so you said some positive things about Scotland's railway, but given our members are suppliers, what are the challenges that our members can help solve?
I think I've already mentioned the hydrogen and the replacement of the trains, that they are looking, you know, for innovation in sort of like decarbonisation, you know, and making things cheaper and that. I think the other thing that came out strongly, and I know we've talked about this before, is just the whole issue of climate. Because, you know, it is really affecting performance. It's, you know, it's affecting reliability of the system and that. And as I say, I know we mentioned before that, you know, we've had a number of days where just no train services run. So if anybody has ideas on how to manage that better, how to manage the operations better, how to, you know, get the track back, that is really, you know, one of the things that's going to help Scotland. And I think looking at the passenger experience, what can be done to improve the passenger experience. And I think related to that, all of these things have to be done in a really cost-effective way, because whilst Scotland does have a plan, it is subject to funding. It's, you know, so it, whatever, you know, we have to show what the benefits would be, where the value is.
Right. Okay, so passenger experience, hydrogen decarbonisation, and climate resilience solutions.
Yes.
Get your solution hats on. Who was the favourite, but your favourite new contact you made?
Favourite new contact? Well, of course, I'm going to say Bill Reeve, aren't I? Because he's the main man. but I made lots of contacts. I'll tell you what I haven't spoken about. My favourite presentation of the day was by Alex Dobie. Who was he is the HR director for Network Rail, and he gave a really great presentation on, well, he called it "What's Your Canary in the Mine?" And it was just really thought provoking on safety and managing the employee experience. The fact that you've got to live experiences, because so part of his presentation was, yeah, and I think this is quite interesting, was that frontline staff feel less safe. So I don't think, you know, that that's anything new. But I think in sort of some of the data analysis that the Network Rail have done is that diverse teams feel safer. And that was what I think was maybe thought provoking, was because obviously, I mean, because many years ago, when I had responsibility for teams, I did an investigation on a grievance where somebody was being sexually bullied in the team, and the team didn't see it, and it was because they were a team of 10 and only one was female. And so the other 9 weren't seeing it. So I think, you know, I would talk to sort of like, and it made her feel unsafe, you know, to go into the mess room. It was that type of thing. So I think there was nothing new learned, but I think it's always interesting to see it up in a presentation or be, you know, see that confirmed.
Yeah, well, it's a sad state of affairs, but good to recognise it.
But I think, you know, that's another, you know, facet to diversity that should be thought about when, you know, when people are thinking about building teams. And that's not just about, you know, sort of like force, that's about, you know, sort of like how the team works together and how that changes the dynamics. It was a really good conference. I really enjoyed it, really enjoyed meeting new people.
Great.
Yeah.
Have you got another one lined up?
I have, hopefully I'm going to be going to the innovation conference being held by RIA in a couple of weeks' time.
Brilliant. Are you going to podcast from there?
I am. I'm going to. So if any of our members are going, I'm going to take my microphone and podcast from there.
Excellent. Look forward to listening to that. Nice to see you both.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Thanks for listening to another episode of What Moves Us. We hope we moved you. For more episodes, you'll definitely want to subscribe to our channel.
Till next time.